people who don't know who I am. So good morning to you. My name's Laura. I'm one of the members here. I'll be taking leading part of the service today, and Ali will be taking over in bits as well. So Ali's our minister, and she'll be talking to us and leading us through the baptism. It's such a privilege to be here today to witness this next step for Holly, for Molly, and for Matthew. We are so encouraged by the journey they've been on, and I hope you have been too. So if you've been here, if this is your first time here, you're welcome. If it's your 101st time here, you're welcome. We come into God's presence to receive from him all that he wants to give us, that we might be blessed, and then we can go and be a blessing. So let me give you some notices, because if you're new here, you might not know these things. If you need the toilet, you're allowed to go to the toilet. Our toilets are through those double doors. Do a left, men's first, ladies next. The disabled toilet is right outside the double doors. Please help yourself to them. If at any point, if you've got children who get a bit restless and you think, oh, they're not too happy, we've got little boards that they can do some colouring and some quizzes or something on it. So there's activities boards. Just go to the people at the back, and they'll give you a board for them. If you feel that they're really struggling, we also have a room, a bit of a breakout room. If anybody needs any space, it doesn't have to be a child. If you feel it's a bit overwhelming, then do take that opportunity. You go out the double doors, along to the end, as if you're going out, but straight ahead is the lounge, where you'll still be able to see what's going on. But not here. No, we've struggled with sound this morning. But if you need to get just a little bit of space, please do that. We're family together, so feel comfortable among us. After we've finished the service, there will be refreshments at the back. So we've got some things to eat and drink and stuff like that as well. So please stay around, get to know some of us, and help us to get to know you too. Can I do a reminder that if you've got a mobile phone, can you please switch it to silent or off, please? It would be really a shame if during a particular point it went off and it distracted Molly, Holly, or Matthew. So please make sure your phone is off or on silent, please. I think that's all I need to say. Ali will be saying some more in a minute. Let me just read a little bit from the Bible. So from the Psalms. So you might know the Psalms from Psalm 23, where David talks about God being our shepherd, and we're going to sing about that later. But I want you to take it from Psalm 18. And Psalm 18 says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. My God is my rock. We come to worship the God for me who has shown himself to be faithful and true, and one that I can trust. So we're going to pray together, then we're going to sing a hymn that I hope most people will know. It's quite a well-known hymn, and then we'll just move on into the service.
Forest glades I Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Please take a seat. Wonderful. Well, there's a warm welcome from me, as there is from Laura. It's wonderful to have so many here with us this morning, and I hope you all feel like you're part of the family. So thank you for coming, if you're with Matt or Molly or Holly, and just to come and share this really special day with them. I know they'll appreciate you being here for them. Now, for some of us here, today is going to be a really special reminder of the promises that we made as we stood up and declared to the world that we follow Jesus. For me, personally, I was baptised at the same age Molly is now, so that's kind of special for me. It brings back very special memories. It was a similar time of thing, you know, in my final year at school and all that kind of stuff. So there's special stuff going on there. But for others, I'm guessing this may well be the first time you've come into a church, let alone seen a baptism like this. So I'm going to explain a little bit about what's going to happen and why. So in a moment, Matt, Molly and Holly will come and share a bit of their story, the journey they've been on that's brought them to today, how they've come to this decision to be baptised. And then we're going to sing a song, and then we'll go into the baptismal pool. Not all at once. We'll do it one by one. We'll explain. I'm going to ask each of them some questions. They'll come and join us in the water, and we'll baptise them. And that means putting them right under the water. If you haven't seen it yet, it's quite a deep pool, but we'll put them right under. I have reassured them we will bring them back up again afterwards. It's all good. When they come up out of the water, we're going to sing a song together, one that they've chosen specially. And while you sing, we'll pray for them. We'll pray for Matt and then Molly and then Holly.
Now, after the song, there'll be an opportunity for people to share some verses from the Bible that perhaps they feel that God has given them to share for each of these folk. Unfortunately, because of that we've got three and we've got loads of people here, we'll have a few verses shared. And if you don't get an opportunity to share yours, then do make sure you write it down or you hand it over to them afterwards, or go and tell them afterwards so that they know and can reflect on those further. Once everyone's been baptised, I'll then hand back to Laura, who will look after you all for a little while we go and get changed so we don't drip all over the floor. Now, why do we baptise people like this? I mean, why have these lovely folk decided that being put under the water, fully clothed, in a public ceremony is a really good idea? You might be thinking, this is really very odd. Perhaps you're asking, why would anybody want to do that? Well, being baptised is a part of becoming a Christian, part of becoming a follower of Jesus. And we know that. It's something that the Bible tells us to do as well. After Jesus was crucified and then raised to life again 3 days later, in the book of Mark, in the New Testament, in the Bible, we're told that he met with his disciples, his closest friends, and he told them this: "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And then later on, in the book of Acts, where the Apostle Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, he was preaching, and he said this: "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And we also know that Jesus himself was baptized by his cousin in the River Jordan. So when we make the decision to be baptized, we're following Jesus' example as well. Now, I also guess you probably have heard about babies getting baptized and therefore are wondering why these folk have waited so long, because they're not babies. None of these are babies. They're all quite grown up. And why we also use so much water when often with little tiny babies, they just have a sort of sprinkling of water on their heads. Well, for us, we think that being baptised, it's really important that people have made that decision for themselves. And then while we use a lot of water, and it is just ordinary water, it's not special or holy or consecrated or anything like that, it's just ordinary water. And in actual fact, the amount of water is not really important either. But the word that is used in the New Testament is it means to dip under the water or to plunge. And it's a really active word that indicates getting totally immersed in water, just like Jesus did when he was baptised in the River Jordan. So that's why we do baptisms like this. As I said, we haven't got a river to hand, so we do have this pool, which I guess looks a little bit like a bath. It's a funny shaped bath, mind. Never mind. But I'm guessing not many people take a bath in public, let alone with all their clothes on. But when we baptise people here, we do so surrounded by our church family, and that reminds us that as Christians, as followers of God, we belong to God, but we also belong to his family, and just like the same way that the members of a family belong to each other. When we become Christians, when we make that decision to follow Jesus, it's like we're considering the way we used to live, that our old way is dead, and we're coming to this new life with Jesus. And baptism demonstrates this in a really, really clear way. So it reminds us about what Jesus did for us on the cross, because the water here represents our sins being washed away, and sins just being a word that means all the things that we've done wrong. And it's a really simple picture. As you go down into the water, you're showing you're dying to the old way of living, your old life. And as you're under the water, it's as if that old life is dead and buried. And when you come up out of the water, you're showing this intent to live a new life in Jesus. And Matt and Molly and Holly, as they're baptised today, this is a symbolism. This is them showing that they are burying the old way of living, a life lived without Jesus. And they're coming to live a new life, a different life with Jesus. And they're doing this because they're responding to the call that Jesus has put on their hearts and for all that he did for us all in dying on the cross. But being baptised in and of itself does not make you a believer in Jesus. There's a funny phrase called, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus. And grace means that we're saved not because of anything that we've done, but because of what Jesus did for us. And as Matt and Molly and Holly go down into the water and come up again, it's an outward sign. They're showing they're declaring to the world what's changed in their heart. This is the outward sign of something they've already decided to do, to follow Jesus, knowing that they are loved and fully accepted by him and accepting the need for him in their lives. Also, just in case you're wondering, baptism doesn't make people perfect. Families do not expect perfection from this moment on. We need to be real here. It is part of a journey with Jesus. And all of us who've made that decision are on a journey with Jesus. And it's about trusting in him. It's about making that decision to trust him and committing ourselves to learning more about him and learning to be more like him day by day. Now, we're going to pick up this idea of trusting, because trusting is really important. They've each made a decision to trust in Jesus. And so we're going to sing a song that picks up Psalm 23 called The Lord's My Shepherd. So just stand as you're able, and we'll sing this song together. And then, just so you're ready, we're going to come to you for your testimony. So just enjoy the song, but just be prepared. So we'll stand and, as you're able, and we'll sing together.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you.
To hear from Matt and Molly and Holly. Matt, you're up first. So if you'd like to come and share your story with us and why you've chosen to be baptised.
Before I begin, I've got four extra seats up here. It's a bit lonely if anyone wants to join us. No one?
Should have prepared us a bit better. Where did I put it?
You haven't got it.
Oh, I've got it. It's just that I don't use this function that often. Ah, oh, there we go.
Hopefully it'll appear. There yeah. we go. Phew, it's all good. The text's okay.
Right. Okay. My journey as a Christian dates back nearly 8 years ago, probably even further. But I do need to backtrack it as far as nine years, as it is relevant. I had spent 10 years living in Swansea and had come to one of my many low points in my life and decided I wanted to move back to my family in Birmingham. My uncle Alan, he's up there. Oh, there you are. Would not only pick me up and help me move, he would give me a place to stay in his own flat, a room. It would be the second greatest thing he would ever do for me. As for the first, he would kick me out 18 months later. We'd fallen out because I'd fallen back on my bad habits and wasn't keeping my promises to him. And I would call my dad for help, and my brother Alex would turn up, along with my brother-in-law, Darren. Alex would even go back into the flat, and wrap me up in my duvet in the back of his car. I wasn't the best brother to him, and I was really curious and asked him, "Why are you so kind to me?" His reply was, "I believe it is my duty as a Christian to help you." That week, I asked my mom if I could join her in church on Sunday, and on that service, our Pastor Pete was sadly sick at the time. Instead, it was Laura who would be leading the service. With this message of Storms of Life. I will be honest, I can't remember much of the service, but it was the feeling of belonging here that has never left me. It would be 7 more years before I would take the next step on my journey in my life with God. And in that time, I would experience 4 weddings, no funerals, a new job, a pandemic, and a new minister as well. And it was in August last year, while attending a barbecue that Ali was hosting, I found the courage to tell my dad about a trauma I had experienced in my childhood and asked him for help with it. In the last 10 months, I've reunited with a friend of my childhood, Claire, and began the next part of my journey with life with God, confronting what had happened to me. And in the middle of June this year, after much waiting, things began to move again. There was therapy lining up to help me with trauma. It was also a lot of things were progressing. When the next part happened, my motorbike was stolen. This was only a few weeks ago. And in a repeat of what happened 8 years ago, it was my brother who came along to fetch me, calmed me down, to help me get things sorted out, would take me to my parents, and I would go, and they would come for me once more. And same thing, and again, I would wish to go to church. It was Father's Day, so the service wasn't going to be aimed at me, he, or anything else. However, it was the smallest signs this time that came to me. The first was the mention of a fellowship fund and should I require any financial aid. As my bike's theft, I was left in a bit of a difficult position then, and it was still on my mind. Ali mentioned that both Holly and Molly were also going to be baptized on the 7th of July and made an open invite to anyone to join the celebration or to join in the baptism itself. And third was the one that decided it. I checked my work rota and I wasn't working that day either. I knew knowing that God wanted me to take the next step into living my life through him, to make that commitment. And I also realized I didn't have to wait when my life was together for a baptism, but to make it part of the journey. So a few conversations with Ali and Laura later, as well as more progress in my life, getting together with the help of my family and friends, we are all here to witness my next step in my life with God and to take the plunge into, well, it is warm water, isn't it?
It is.
Yes, I thought it was going to be cold. Here I am, ready to take the plunge.
Amazing. Testimony one. Okay, Molly, your turn to come and share.
Okay, so I'm getting baptised because I turned to Jesus around December time of last year when I was at a point in my life where I was just struggling with so many different things. And there was one day where I just didn't know what to do, and out of nowhere, I just thought to myself, if anything or anyone is going to help me now, it's going to be Jesus. And so I called out to him and asked him to take over, and I really believe in that moment he showed up, because I was filled with this peace that I'd never experienced before, and that peace in the chaos of my struggles is what drew me into seeking him more, because I thought, okay, there might actually be something here. Now, some of these things I was struggling with at the time included my anger and reactiveness that I just couldn't control. I was constantly overthinking. I was also struggling a lot with my schoolwork. And overall, all this combined just brought me a lot of sadness. But when I started speaking to Jesus more and was asking him to take control and help me, I began to notice small yet significant changes in my life. The first change I noticed was that I really started to calm down and I was no longer as angry and reactive as I used to be. And this just improved the closer I got to Jesus. During this time, I would have the same phrase come to my mind every day, telling me it's okay, you don't need to react to everything. And that reminder every day also helped in calming me down. Around January time, I got myself my first Bible and started to read and learn about Jesus. And I was also praying a lot more. Then I got the strong urge to come to church and I thought there is no way I can walk into a church by myself. So I left it for a couple of weeks, but this thought of church did not leave my mind once. So as nervous as I was, having no idea what to expect, I came to church after asking Jesus to give me the confidence I needed to be able to do so. Now I mentioned that I was struggling at school. I was so overwhelmed with all of the work that I did not want to go in. Every minute of every day I just wanted to hide. But after seeing the changes in my life already, I decided to give the stress from my schoolwork to Jesus too. Not knowing how he was going to be able to help me, I trusted that he would, and he did. I was getting to the end of each day and thinking to myself, that could have only been Jesus that got me through that day, because that day was brutal, but here I am at the end of it. The wanting to hide from my work in hopes that the work would just disappear did not go away, but I knew that if I just stayed close to Jesus and kept showing up and doing the work anyway, he would get me to the end and everything would be okay. He was with me through all of it, giving me that same peace I felt in December when I started this journey. One thing that really amazed me is that before one of my exams, I was spoiling a bit and I said to Jesus, you're still here, right? You haven't left me. Can you just let me know that you're still here, please? And then I walk into the library to the exam and the seat that I had a view out of the window and I looked out the window and I could just see the huge cross that is on the side of the church that is all the way up the road from the school. And that was just a very clear, yes, I'm still here. There is so much more I could mention, but I'm going to end by saying this. Having a relationship with Jesus and following Jesus was never part of my plan for my life until recently. I never expected to go down this path. I never planned for this. But after reading about Jesus and getting to know him and seeing everything he has done for me, I couldn't turn back now and I wouldn't want to. This journey has been so much better than anything I had planned.
And now Holly.
So this is the story of my life. I felt different as a child. I was creative, always wondering, using my imagination. I remember as a small child, I had this thought that we were all in a massive dollhouse and there was a big joint and we were all characters. I used to be terrified of the dark. I would sleep with the lots and until my teens, growing up, I had troubles. I became troubled. My innocence became guilt, shame, and pure ignorance. I remember that I went from being different, from feeling that I had to be like the world. I carried the burden for a long time, and I was afraid of the dark growing up. It turns out I'd been living in darkness for so long as an adult. I didn't even realise my eyes had been blinded. I'd been choked up with everything I turned into. Drinking on weekends, going out, smoking, all the shameful stuff I'm not proud to say. It consumed me. I was being eaten away by the guilt, shame, bitterness. Smoking became a habit. Turn up and block everything out. It just made me feel more guilty. I kept getting the thought that it was normal. That's what everyone does. But I'd been deceived. It was a lie. I remember getting to a point. I thought, how did this happen? How did it get to here? God tried to save me so many times before it truly came to here. The Jehovah Witness knocked on my door when I was 14. I spoke to them, but my heart wasn't ready yet. I was troubled. I was like the world. But I still carried my faith with me. My dad used to say God was not real. I always had a sense that God was real. God is true. Jesus is true. I was in a toxic relationship for 5 years. I was really depressed. I was working in a school. My work friend would talk to me about God. I wanted to go to church back then, but the person I was with would laugh and mock me. I fell pregnant last year with my third child. I got to the point, and I couldn't live like that no more. My mind was a battlefield. I didn't even know myself anymore. My soul just felt dead. Something came over me, which now I knew it was Jesus. He nudged me to start reading the Bible. Little by little, I saw changes. I would read it before I went to bed. In labour, I was on my own, which was my own choice. It was traumatic. They couldn't find Archie's heartbeat. I was scared in so much pain. I prayed, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Forgive me for everything. I surrender. I'm sorry. Please don't leave me. Please hold my hand. I'm scared. My sister came because I was scared. She got there just before I was giving birth. There was problems with my delivery. The cord was wrapped around Archie's neck. I couldn't get him out. I was tired and I was giving up. I lost a lot of blood. To help me deliver him by a suction cup, it was fine. I thought I was going to die. I felt lifeless. I couldn't even lift up my own head. My blood pressure was really high. I couldn't hold Archie, but after everything, I knew God was there. All along, right next to me, because when I came round from feeling like I was dying after having loads of needles and a drip to stop my bleeding, it was so I just didn't even deliver a babe down there at all. It was Jesus, not sheep. He heard my cry for help. He came running to me. My life has changed in the most amazing way, and I owe it to the Lord. I love him forever. I need him daily. I read my Bible daily. I cling on to him every day. I speak to Jesus daily. He's my true love. It terrifies me. I never want to go back to where he saved me from. I look at life differently now. I used to walk around with my head looking at the floor. Now I'm gazing at clouds, looking at the flowers, watching the birds in the sky. Amazed by God's creations, all the glory to the Lord. I was once dead inside, but now I live.
Well done.
It's such a privilege to hear people's stories, to see how they have journeyed with God and how God has journeyed with them. And now we come to that point of actually baptising them. Now, the baptisms will be on the screen, so hopefully you'll all be able to see. But if you're one of our smaller folk, do feel free to come down the front. But do if you're sort of under, sort of, I suppose, 12 or so, do make sure you bring an adult with you so you don't accidentally fall in. That's the last thing we'd need. So, Matt, you're going to be baptised first, but before we do, I've got some questions for you, but I also need Danny. Where's Danny? There you are. Right, Dan, do you want to join? Yes, you need to join me in there. Thank you. Thank you. Matt, if you come and stand here for the microphone, we need to hear your... Oh, you're right, it is warm.
Yeah,
it's warm. Yes, just stand here, you'll need to be by the mic. Oh, goodness.
by the mic so everyone can hear your responses.
Okay.
So I have some questions for you, Matt. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
In obedience to the call of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, do you repent of your sins and come to be baptised?
I do.
With the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in the service of God wherever he may call you to go?
I do.
Then come and be baptised. So, Matt, having heard of your repentance and faith, we baptise you, Matt, our brother, in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and our Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit.
In the presence of my Saviour. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour. Spirit, lead me where my trust is borders, may walk upon the water, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my truth can ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour.
I will call upon your name, keep my eyes above the way.
So we'll rest in your embrace. I am yours. You are.
So if you'd like to just take your seats for a moment. We've just been praying for Matt, and I alluded earlier to some people have been sort of praying over, since we've heard about people being baptised. And I've got a verse for you from God. And the verse that God has laid on my heart for you on this special day is from Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So if we've got other people to share verses, then Heather is going to pass the mic. We need the mic round. We've got a couple of folk on who watch us on our Zoom link, so we'd want to be able to hear what everyone's saying.
Joshua 1:9, which was given to me at my baptism. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
Isaiah 49, verse 16. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand.
This is one from me, Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear.
All right, Matt. Okay, I've got Psalm 105, verse 4, and it's, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his presence continually.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Now, Matt and Danny, you're going to make your way up the stairs, and you don't disappear, because we don't want you to miss the next baptism, so you're going to have to sort of stand there and drip for a bit, I'm afraid. Sorry.
I wouldn't miss anything, please.
Wonderful. So now I've got the privilege of inviting, I've got to check my notes, who's next? Molly. Molly, it's your turn now. So Molly, if you could come to the microphone, and Jude, if you're coming to join me in the baptistry, so if you can come in. So I have the same questions for you. You're right there. So Molly, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
In obedience to the call of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, do you repent of your sins and come to be baptised?
I do.
With the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in the service of God, wherever he may call you to go?
I do.
Then come and be baptised. So, Molly, having heard of your repentance and faith, we baptize you, our sister, in the name of God the Father, God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit.
the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name Jesus Christ, thy King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven. Sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, the King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil so before you, silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised in life. Again, you have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever God you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name. Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Jesus. So again, some verses. My verse for you today, Molly, is from Colossians 2, and it's verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your life in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness.
So, Molly, my verse for you comes from Psalm 1, where I'm going to paraphrase it. So, it says that you are like a tree which is planted by the river, deeply rooted, that you will have fruit in every season and never a leaf will drop. And that's God's promise to you, that your life will be full of fruit for every season.
Well done, Molly. Brilliant. This one's John 15, verse 7. If you remain in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you according to his will.
And this one's from, sorry, I will get to you, Jean. This one's from Ian, who had the privilege of leading Molly along with Carol through the Pathway course a few months ago. This is from John 10, verses 14 and 15, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And my sheep know me. just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
This is for you, Molly. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And that's in Proverbs chapter 3.
Hi, Molly. This is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future.
Can I just echo that? That's what I've written in your card, Molly. So Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12.
Nehemiah 8, verse 10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Wonderful. Now it's your turn. We need. Where's the tail gone? Oh, it's gone round. Oh, we need. Oh, it's going round that way. It's coming to meet her the other way. I didn't know. Because it's your turn to stand and watch as we. As Holly, it's now your turn. Okay. So I have the questions for you. Holly, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour?
I do.
In obedience to the call of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, do you repent of your sins and come to be baptised?
I do.
With the help of the Holy Spirit, do you offer your life in the service of God, wherever he may call you to go?
I do.
Then come and be baptised. She said it's like a bath. It is. No bubbles, though. So, Holly, having heard of your repentance and faith, we baptize you, Holly, our sister, in the name of God the Father, God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit.
I speak Jesus.
speak your holy name, Jesus. Darkness over every enemy. Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name. Jesus, your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through.
For this special day, Holly, the verse that I have is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here.
Holly, there's a story in the Bible that you know well, which is the shepherd who had 100 sheep, but he'd lost one, and he left the 99 to find the one he'd lost. Holly, you've been found. Thank you, Jesus.
Holly, this one's Romans 8, verse 26. This will help you. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. The Spirit itself intercedes for us through wordless groans.
Hello. As you were giving your testimony, I had a really strong urge, and the words that came to mind is, God is going to use you mightily. And the verse for you is from John 4, verse 39. It talks about after the meeting of the Samaritan woman at the well, and God knew all about her. She didn't have to tell him, but when she said, he told me everything I ever did, she went back to her village, and because of her, people believed in him.
So, Holly, this is Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
And Holly, I got for you Joel 2, the whole chapter basically, but the bit that really stood out to me was God says, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have taken away.
Thank you to all who've shared verses. As I say, if you haven't had an opportunity to share one, just or you didn't feel comfortable doing that, do please pass them on to each of Matt or Molly or Holly or all of them, one or all, I don't mind, just because it's really useful for them to be able to take it away and think about what God's been saying to them through these verses. I'm now going to hand over to Laura to lead us while we go and get changed, though, as I say, we don't drip all over the floor. We'll be back soon.
Okay, so we're going to continue together, but I think before they leave, I think we should give them another big cheer. So let's give them a big hand. We're not the only ones cheering today. The Bible tells us that even the angels are cheering, so we're joining in with them. I'm going to do some notices now. If you've ever been in a church service, there's always a notice, but I hope these won't be too painful. Tonight, for those who normally join us, we've got pastoral prayer on Zoom. So we meet together once a month on Zoom to pray for each other and pray for the situations around the world. If you're here today and you would like us to pray for you, just let me know at the end, and I'll make sure that we pray for you later on as well. It's between 7 and 8 for those who normally join. Hopefully you've had the link. We've got a church meeting. Do you want to say?
Hi, church members, check your email. That's about it. So Wednesday the 17th of July, 7:30 here or on Zoom. I haven't sent the Zoom link yet. I'll send that nearer the time. But I think this is showing off now. I think I sent the email this morning at about 6:30.
Okay, I don't know if there's any other notices. As I said before, we've got refreshments afterwards, so please don't rush away at the end. Stay around and come and speak to us, because we'd like to know who you are and who you've come to support and stuff like that. We're going to take up our offering now. Now, this is for those who come regular. This is not for our visitors. We just like you to be here. Feel free to let the bag pass by. You do not need to put any money in. We want your presence, not your money, okay? But we're going to take up our offering, because everything that we do in this church is funded by the people who give the money here. We don't have a hierarchy where somebody gives us lots of money. We need to fund this ourselves. So this is part of our service and our worship to God. So if the people who are taking the offering could start, please. As I say, if you're a visitor, please let the bag just pass you by. Thanks, Phil. Yeah. And while they're gathering that up, once we've taken up the offering, we're going to pray. And then we've got a little video to watch. It's very short. And then we're going to sing a song. And maybe by then, Ali will be dressed and back. But if she's not, we'll carry on singing. But as soon as Ali comes back, there'll be a very short reflection, another song, and then it's time to get the refreshments that we've all been waiting for. I don't know about you, but it looks good.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the provision that you give for us. We thank you for this new day. We thank you for our homes, our families, our jobs, the activities that we can do. We thank you for all good things that you give us. And I pray that you will help us to be kind and generous in the way that you are with all that we have. So we thank you for this money that's in the bags, the money that goes into the bank, and for the people who seek to serve you with their time and their talents and their energy in this place, so that your kingdom can be seen further and further. So may you increase all we give, that your kingdom may come here on earth as in heaven, for your glory, Jesus. Amen.
Sometimes it just feels easier to be quiet. No drama. No hiding. No faking. Love is too hard. To be loved but not known is comforting, but shallow. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known, with all your failings, your flaws, the ugliness that you normally hide from the world, to be fully known and, despite all this, be truly loved. This is what we need more than anything. And this is what it is like, being loved by Jesus. No more hiding. No more pretending. All that's left is peace that comes from knowing in the deepest parts of you that you are worthy of great love.
Let's stand if we're able.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Him. For He knows us and He holds us in His hand. And His grace is never failing, and His love without end. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Him. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness.
Saviour, you have promised. You will all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to you in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright and clouded, there will be no need for prayer. Raptured praise and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Him. For He knows us and He holds us in His hand. And His grace is never failing, and His love without an end. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Him. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Him.
Now. Can we get past? There we go. Now, we've got Matt back. Look at that timing. Perfect. Perfect. If I get to the right point in my notes. Cool. I did say to them, they've got to be fairly prompt with their changing because I've got something to say to them. So, Matt. Molly. Holly. What a joy to be able to baptise you. Thank you for the privilege of inviting me and Jude and Danny into that space with you. It is just a joy to be able to journey with you like this on your special day. And as you've done that, have you done this on this special day? You've done three things. You have demonstrated the change that has happened in your lives because of your relationship with God. You have showed devotion to God. None of you chose to be baptized to impress anyone or to show off. You did this because God loves you and you love Him. And in that, you've made a dedication to God, that you're going to trust Him and you're going to follow Him with your whole heart. You've dedicated who you are and the way that you live to Him for the rest of your lives. And just like the many people who've already been baptized before you, our hope is that today will be a significant moment in your journey of faith, a day that you'll always remember. In the Old Testament, we are told that God's people used to set up stones in the desert to help them remember things. In the first book of Samuel, we read about a time when God's people, really hadn't been following God with all their hearts. But there was a man called Samuel who was the prophet, and he spoke to them, and they had a change of heart and recommitted themselves to following God wholeheartedly. And then we're told that Samuel did this. He took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshana. He named it Ebenezer, which means stone of help. For he said, up to this point, the Lord has helped to us. Now, I don't know about you, but naming a stone seems a bit funny to me, but there we go. But God's people often set up markers around the desert, you know, as they travelled about with God, and they did this quite often. I guess knowing which stone was which and why it was there helped them. They knew what it was for. But I guess that the name Ebenezer, probably in most people's minds here, has a very different image. It's got Ebenezer Scrooge. Am I right? If you hear the word Ebenezer, you don't think of a stone in the desert, you think of The Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And I guess we think of Ebenezer as he's like a really mean, horrible man. Because most of the story, he is. But Ebenezer had a change of heart. If you know the story well, he had this change of heart and he became generous and loving. If you haven't read it, I've just ruined it for you, sorry. But basically, I wonder if Dickens, when he was writing the story, whether he chose the name Ebenezer because he knew of this story in the Bible, because it was associated with this change. See, there's a much bigger story to be told about the stone called Ebenezer. But God's people in that time, they'd made mistakes and got themselves into trouble. They'd done things their own way. They hadn't followed God's ways. But God rescued them. And they had this change of heart. And this stone that Samuel set up, this Ebenezer stone, was a reminder to them of how God had stepped in. And in a way, it was a reminder of how they'd messed up, yes, but also a reminder of God's help in that situation, that God had stayed faithful to them, even when they'd done things that weren't of him. And I think we all need reminders like this. We need our own Ebenezer stones, ways of remembering that God loves us, cares for us, and is always with us. For Matt, for Molly and Holly, they've had a change of heart. They've gone from following their own ways to following God because they encountered him, because they discovered how much he loved them, how much he cares for them, and how much we know with absolute confidence that he will be with them forever. Going through these waters of baptism today is an Ebenezer stone in their faith journey. We know he has brought you this far. He has helped you this far. And we know that God will continue to help you in the future. So my prayer, our prayer, for you today is that you will always know God's love, that you will follow him all the days of your life and trust him every step of the way. And to mark this moment, I've got you a present. You've each got a stone as a reminder of the change of heart that you've had since you come into relationship with God. I'd love for this stone to be a reminder for you to keep going with God, to keep growing in your faith with him, and seeking to become more like him as part of this fellowship. And as you journey on, as you do practice, as you move forward, I know you're off to university, as we hope you'll find a space and a church that will, and a family to welcome you in, but you'll always be part of our fellowship too. So as I hand these out to these wonderful people, we're going to sing our final song, which talks about God's amazing grace.
Let us stand if we're able.
Shall soon dissolve like snow.
the sun forbears to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. By chains of God I've been set free, my God, my Saviour has ransomed me.
Say, what a service. Thank you everyone for coming this morning. We hope you enjoyed the service today. Now, I'm aware that sometimes baptism services can leave people with questions. So if you've got any questions about the baptism or anything else that you've heard today, do have a word with me or someone from the church family. Or I've got, there are a couple of leaflets at the back. If that's you'd prefer to have a little bit of a read and take that one or something like that away with you, there's a couple of those at the back. And all I have to say is that may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen.
Amen.
This is now the end of our service. Do stay, as Laura said, and do enjoy some refreshments. There are lots of lovely treats to enjoy at the back as we just continue to celebrate Matt, Holly, and Molly's special day. Thank you again.